Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. It's the holiday shopping season. Let's call it what it is. And drones are, once again, high on wish lists. This year, micro drones and selfie drones seem to be collecting the headlines, at least on social media. But what if a drone had a more practical purpose, like guarding your home? A Silicon Valley startup, Sunflower Labs, has prototyped a home security system drone that should begin testing sometime in 2017. The drone is only for selfies if you're a would-be intruder or a hungry bear looking for the kitchen door. The quadcopter is heavy-duty, made of durable metal alloys, with 20 cameras and a speaker system so homeowners can send a warning to anything lurking in the shadows. We pulled the founder and CEO of Sunflower Labs out of the lab and into the studio for a pre-launch chat.
Alex Patrikoff, founder and CEO of Sunflower Labs.
Okay, we're going to pivot to Sunflower Labs pretty soon, but I want to get your history. I saw on one of your bios, an evangelist, if you will, for high-tech kind of stuff. What's your history in the Valley?
I immigrated from Russia with my parents in 1992, so I've been here 24 years at this point. I went to high school in Los Gatos, so basically lived around here for most of my adult life. Went to college in Colorado, studied astronomy, sociology, astrophysics, things of that nature, have a degree in those. Took a small break, wanted to just take 6 months off, wanted to continue, get a master's degree in astrophysics, came out to the Valley and got involved with a company called Evernote. So my father is the founder of the company.
Oh, okay.
And he just had this idea. He was just kind of getting off the ground. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's done several companies in his past, been very successful. And I said, I'll help out. I had my own business going. I had my own sort of thing. But before I knew it, I was sucked in. I was in it. I was in the company for 10 years. We built it from the ground up. A member of the founding team of the company. It started as crazy of an idea at the time as what I'm doing now with the drones.
Right.
Everybody told us, cloud computing, that's never going to be economical. That's just too crazy, too expensive.
What?
Yeah, but in 2005, absolutely, that was the case. There were no smartphones. There was no cloud services. And you talk about camera phone being an extension of your memory, being able to take a picture of anything you want to remember, everything synchronized.
Between us is seated your newest piece of hardware, I guess, your newest company. And I usually try to set it up for you, put it on the tee. But honestly, I think maybe your elevator pitch might be better to help the audience understand exactly what we're going to be talking about for the next few minutes.
I live in the house. I live here in San Carlos, and I have a giant forest right behind my house. It's the Pulgas Ridge State Preserve or something. And all night long, every night, I just hear crazy noises. I don't know what they are. It's just, it could be teenagers, it could be animals, it could be God knows what. And I've been a drone enthusiast for a long time. I have 14 drones around my house or something like that. And so I kept thinking, why don't I just place a drone outside? I'm just going to put a drone outside, and if I hear something, I'm just going to fly up, and I'm going to take a look and see what's going on. But that's not really practical. It has to be powered on. It has to be all connected. It's not, the drones currently don't really like to live outside by themselves. So it never really worked out. And I met up with an old friend of mine, actually my college roommate. We had our first company together in the late 90s. And I told him this idea, and he's an aerospace engineer, and so a huge background in aerospace and worked on all sorts of drones and, equipment. And I told him this idea, and I said, wouldn't it be great if this is a thing? But it's crazy, come on, who would ever build it?
Right.
Well, to my surprise, he didn't think it was crazy. He spent a couple of weeks, and he put together a first prototype of our system. We had some rudimentary sensors that would detect some activity outside, and we had a drone that will fly out and explore the activities autonomously. And we raised some money, so we ended up picking up a seed round from General Catalyst for a little over $2 million, and we've been building a system, and it works. It's real. I have a drone that lives in the back of my house. I have a set of sensors. Everything's gotten far more advanced than our rudimentary idea, but the main purpose is still there. I wanted to know if something happens outside of my house and be able to investigate it and not have to install a dozen cameras all over my property and not have to, run outside with a baseball bat in the middle of the night. I just wanted to be able to say, go take a look. Show me what's there.
Right.
And the system we have today, and this is what the Sunflower Home Awareness System that we call it, is a set of really advanced sensors. They pick up vibration, motion, and sound from around your property. They triangulate it. They determine whether an event of some sort is taking place. They can make a judgment call whether this is an event that's worth exploring. And if it is, you get a push notification on your phone. You push a button, and the drone deploys and flies autonomously to that area and takes a look in the direction of the motion.
Okay.
And if the motion moved, it can follow it. And if it's somebody around your property doing something fishy, you got a drone flying out behind you, I'm pretty sure you're not going to continue.
A deterrent.
Exactly. One of our main pitches was that this is an active protection system. It's equivalent of a security guard arriving in a scene. It's not just a camera which may or may not be noticed, may or may not be on. It's something when it arrives, you know you've been noticed.
Right on. And you know, you were talking about it being an active protection system. It also is an active software system too. It learns, right? So just in case, like where I live in the hills, right? And so I have basically a deer run off the side of one of my houses. I don't like it, but that's the way it is. So it'll learn that it's deer passing necessarily at these times of day. Is that too much?
No, correct. So there's a few dimensions of learning. First, we correlate vibration, motion, and sound. And different either people or animals or cars, they make different combinations of these sensors. So, for example, a human walking wouldn't be much sound, maybe a couple of taps, but it would be vibration, which shows footsteps and a particular rate, like a gait of human walk is very specific. Humans only walk at a certain speed. They don't, you know, it's not like a drum roll or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then we say, okay, we see in our motion sensors, and there's, by the way, 20 motion sensors in each of our smart lights. So smart lights have the sensors in them. So there's 20 of them. They point in all the different directions. We see that an object that's tall has walked by at a normal human pace, and we saw the footsteps. So we can, you know, relatively confidently conclude that this is a person. Or, for example, we might not see the height. We see an object which is smaller. We don't see the footsteps because, you know, a raccoon, for example, doesn't give off footsteps, but we hear certain sounds, and we know that at these particular times they're active. Or we hear vibration, like from a car engine.
Right.
You know, something pulled up in front of your car. Somebody walked out. We heard footsteps, somebody walking. Came to your front door, turned around, went back, car drove away. Okay, we can probably assume, you know, if this during the day, it's probably a mailman. We call each individual measurement as a micro event.
Uh-huh.
We combine them, we get these macro events. And these macro events are, you know, deer on your property, somebody loitering around that there shouldn't be.
Right.
A mailman came and left. And then we can determine whether you want to be notified about it. And in most cases, maybe no. And in some cases, maybe we can react to it ourselves. So if it's a raccoon in your garbage, we have a small speaker inside our sensors. And that speaker will go off in ultrasound and will scare away most animals.
Interesting.
Deer as well. If it's a human and we know it's you, for example, we can turn up the light, make it a little bit brighter, make it a little bit more welcoming. But maybe we don't know it's you. We can blink it. You know, we can make some other threatening sounds to kind of give people this notice. And the last case scenario is that we really don't know what it is. You really want to explore it. You get a notification and you say, deploy the flying camera. When you deploy the flying camera, it flies to that area, takes a look, and sends you live video.
And you're seeing that video on your smartphone?
On your phone, exactly.
Does it keep an activity log?
It does indeed, yeah.
Okay. And as far as sensitivity goes, it learns because of your reaction to a push notification. You might be like, you can ignore, you can ignore, you can ignore, and then eventually it'll learn that.
Exactly. Our first beta customers, we will ask them to effectively report everything. So everything that we see, we want them to tell us, you know, if this is a benign event or if this is something worth exploring.
Okay.
And then as we roll out the system to real customers, then your normal interactions will help reinforce it. And we effectively are taking these micro events I mentioned, and we're training our system on more and more different circumstances they could apply to.
Okay.
And the humans who are using it are reinforcing it all the time. So it's a kind of a distributed, crowdsourced data analysis.
Got it. Okay. Well, let's dive in on the business side just a little bit on this, right? Because this is beautiful hardware. It's smart. It's effective. Is it costly?
We haven't announced the prices yet.
Okay.
So we have some more work to do just to figure out what it's going to be. But we do plan to offer this as a subscription, and we plan to offer it as a subscription similar in price to what a home security subscription would cost.
Okay.
You know, this is a high-end system. This is obviously for early adopters, at least at this stage. We believe that there's room within this market that a system like this, you know, will be justified in its price.
Do I own the hardware? Do I lease it from you? What's your model so far? I'm realizing that it could change.
We think that what we will do is we will offer it as a subscription with a year contract.
Okay.
And after a year contract, you own it.
Okay.
So you could have paid up for it. However, we will maintain it even past the duration. So if you continue the subscription, if anything happens, if the flying camera doesn't come home, you know, something breaks, the sensors don't work, we'll always send you a new one, we'll always update you. So we believe that you will own it. It will be yours ultimately in the end. We wouldn't take it away. However, we need to stand behind it.
And so as a startup, you are firmly in seed rounds right now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What's your runway look like moving forward for the product, for Sunflower Labs?
hardware is a generally a complicated business, and so it depends on how quickly we pull the trigger into going into full production and manufacturing. So for now, we have runway to continue our development, to continue our prototypes, the research, but we will be raising additional capital in order to take it fully into production.
If everything goes well, and nothing ever really goes really well with hardware development, I understand that, but were you looking at Q1 next year, Q2 next year for beta testing?
Probably Q3, Q4.
Q3, Q4. Okay, yeah. Cool. Alex, okay. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Alex Patrikov, founder and CEO of Sunflower Labs, formerly of Evernote. He was talking about the company's new drone-based home security system, launching sometime in 2017. We'll have links to Sunflower Labs and that cool drone at facebook.com/techonomics. Coming up after this next short break, we talk esports with the would-be leader of esports, ESPN.
I took a picture of their kitchen because it was creatine and supplements and the ninja blenders, and they have, and one of their coaches is actually a sports psychologist.
The editor of esports at ESPN.com is next. This is Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton. Please come on back.